basically. And that's why I'm smiling. You know, the hair is still the hair, but not the colored hair, not the mohawk, because I actually had a job. So, but on the sleeve on the right, it says conflict. The other side's red. I said that was like to represent my friends that had died and stuff, the red. But that is James. LaCheryl, do you recognize that guy up there? James. Not the guy with the long hair, but the guy with the tan. Yeah. So that's James. He was one of my favorite Bible college teachers. That's after the BC days in Bible college. And I think that was Friday night evangelism discipleship training at Bible college. And that was James. And he was one of my favorite. Aw, yes. There's the one with the beautiful hair right there on the right, Mary. And that's one of our engagement pictures. So I'm not going to tell you how many years ago. Oh, that, Paul, you like this. That, where is that, Paul? Guess. It's south. That's right. It's Baja. That's you know, El Mirador, about 1,000-foot drop there. So, but I'm saved there. Don't worry. I had the cross on. You see that? Just the goatee trying to look like Jesus. And that was like one of the most special days of my life besides my born-again birthday. And look at our illustrious, amazing senior pastor, Henry. He looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So now you know I've been married for a while. He still looks good. One of my favorite preachers. And on the right there, I'm just watching my wife preach in India there. So she's fired up. Did you see the guy on the left with the white shirt? Where is he? Is he Steve? Are you here, Steve? Where's Steve? That's you, Steve. Look at that. Look at the goatee. With hair. With hair. All right. That was at the Rise Up. That's in Delhi, actually. That was an interesting trip, wasn't it, Steve? I remember you doing praise and worship and bugs flying in your mouth, like big, big bugs, like that could pick you up and carry you away. And he just kept singing. You know that smile? If he doesn't smile once in a while up here, it's just because he's, you know, got flashbacks from the bugs. At night, 10 o'clock at night, wasn't it? We were doing praise and worship and we were sweating, sitting. And he was sweating from swallowing bugs. But on the bottom picture in the go back a slide, that was Mary and I in the Philippines. Ministering there, and that's Dr. Trigo. He started about 1,000 churches in the Philippines. We were on our way to do a crusade in a theater. That was amazing. This is the financial situation of the crusade. They had a light bulb, okay, like a little, I think it was 65 watts maybe, but you know, you imagine a movie theater and just one light bulb for the praise and worship team, for if you had notes. So you had to get healed just to see your notes if you couldn't see very well. I remember preaching at a church for him, and we were so on fire, it was so electrifying that the microphone was electrocuting me. I was like, this thing, you know, he's like, you want to switch? I can handle it. I'm used to it. I'm like, wow, that's your secret. But Mary prayed for a lady that came up. Everybody came up in the dark. You know, you could hardly see anybody. Had to kind of move to the next person to see where we were going, if there was someone else for prayer. And Mary prayed for a woman that had a big golf ball size goiter on her neck and boom, just shrank like that under her hands. It was just, that was a really exciting trip, actually. So what's the next slide? Okay, that's the church where I was getting electrified on the right there, getting more fired up or, you know, charging up. And on the left, that's India again. So thank you. That's good. So today, that's good. So today, my message is about urgency. And I mean, we all know, we look at the times that we're living in and some of us kind of withdraw and, you know, we kind of just wait for the end. And, you know, I just want to protect my family. I just want to make it, Jesus, you know. But today is an urgent time that we're living in where people need hope. People need hope. And God wants to use you to express the urgency in his heart to reach people for him. You didn't get to see the bad pictures of me, but you know, if you had seen me before someone shared Jesus with me, you would have thought, no way, I'm not talking to that guy. When I lived in Coronado, I remember one time seasoned couple was walking down the sidewalks, retired, okay? And they were looking at me because I looked pretty crazy. I was crazy. And I remember shouting and saying, what are you looking at? You know, I mean, this is like my parents' age now, you know, your grandparents, just sweet little people. And it was because, you know, I was kind of holding people at an arm's length or as far as I could, because really deep down inside, I was just hurting. What I really wanted was a hug from them. You know, so when you look at people, you know, I was talking to a guy at work the other day, and it was kind of my little, I always look for an angle, okay, to try to bring up Jesus to sow a seed. And I know he's into fishing. Get it? Angle? You like that, Kevin? All right. So I was looking for an angle to maybe see if I could invite him to church this weekend. And, you know, I've met him, I've met his fiance, and I thought, you know, he's a fisherman. Let me ask him about this. And forgive me, I can't remember the person that said this, but someone said, notice that you don't clean a fish before it gets in the boat, do you? Before you try to catch it, do you try to clean it? And I'm just so glad that the person that shared Jesus with me wasn't thinking, man, I got this guy's got to get a little cleaned up first before I can try to reel him in, right? And so I asked this guy at work, I said, hey, what do you, I want a question, you know, before he leaves, getting ready to leave, you know, for the day. And I said, hey, I heard somebody say, you know, you don't bring a fish in the boat. You don't try to clean a fish before you bring him in the boat. What do you think of that? And I'm going to use that in this talk that I'm doing this Sunday, in case you want to come. We'll be talking about, you know, fishing a little bit, your favorite subject. And he's like, oh, I'm actually going fishing on Sunday. I'm sorry, I can't make it. I said, okay, not surprised. I said, what do you think? Like, what can I add to that? And he said, well, you know what? I noticed that when I go out fishing, you know, on the cattle boats, 150, 200 people, or they leave. If you want to get a lot of fish, they leave early in the morning at 3, 2 in the morning, get drunk first. I don't know how they survive. If there's any waves, they're probably just hurling everywhere. But he said, yeah, I noticed a lot of people talk a big game before we get out there. I'm going to catch this. I'm going to catch it. I'm going to get this big fish, you know. And then they start reeling a few in, and you know, they don't like what they get, so they throw it back, you know. Maybe it's too small. Maybe it doesn't make them look good, you know, with the big story they were talking. And he's like, I kind of think about that. So you know what? If God wants to use you to reach someone that doesn't look like the type of person that you think will receive or that you want to spend time with, don't throw them back. Because someone cared enough to reach out to me when I was saying, stay away from me. And I'm just so grateful that that person cared enough and loved God enough that they were willing to take the risk of my rejection. And I did reject them. I was like this. No, don't talk about God, all right? I made threats. I mean, I've been persecuted this way, but I persecuted him. I kind of reap what I sowed, you know? And I was like, you're talking to me about Jesus at work, man? Shut up. You know, I don't want to hear about it. Try to threaten him, you know, like, I'm going to report you or something weak like that, right? Yesterday, I texted my brother-in-law, who lives locally, and I was like, hey, man, you know, I actually did a group text to my family, Mary's family, and I said, hey, man, I'm speaking tomorrow. I hope you can make it. You know, I'm speaking. And my mother-in-law, she's pretty quick and decisive, and Mary's adopted mom, basically, so I don't get confused with her biological mom. She, we're speaking on what, you know? Actually, no, my father-in-law. That was it. And then she said, oh, I have an appointment. He said, what are you speaking on? And I told him, I'm speaking at church. He didn't text back. But my brother-in-law texted back, and he said, oh, we can't make it. We have a vigil to attend. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Did one of your friends die? He said, no. He texted back. One of Dean's friends died. And Dean is only 12. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to hear that. What happened? He said, well, I said, what's his name? Because I want to pray for him. What happened? He decided to take his own life. 12 years old. 12 years old. I know you come to church and you want to be encouraged, and we come here to be happy. And that's true. I do too. And I do get happy. You can tell during the praise and worship. You should join me. But we also come to church to grow. We come to grow. And so if you feel uncomfortable right now, I'm not trying to drive a sword in your heart, although the word is the sword. I just want to help us to realize the urgency of the hour that we live in. That there's people 12 years old Isn't that an age when someone just doesn't really think about everybody else and they're just having a great time and they got the world ahead of them? And in our day and age, you don't need to tell young people, man, you can do it. You're a champion. You're a winner. You know? I mean, they believe it. You just got to tell them, get out of bed. You know? Right? Get going. You know? Like, get out of the iPod. Get out of my iPhone. And, you know, whatever. You know, get going. Go out. But how could a 12-year-old feel so hopeless? And I wonder if anybody tried to reach him. I wonder if his parents are in his life. I wonder if his parents even knew. I guarantee you, if they did, even if they don't have a great relationship, neighbors, friends, family, even if they hide their wallet from that kid when he comes around, they would have said, don't give up. Spend the day with me, if they knew it was going to happen. Cindy shared a story last week, stole one of my stories from my message, and we didn't even talk to each other about our message. I sent my notes to Pastor Henry, and he's like, wait a minute, why is Brian sending me Cindy's notes? Cindy, wave. Amazing speaker last week, right? Henry's daughter, what do you expect? I have to follow that. Come on, give me a break. So, amazing. You should go back and listen to the podcast or online. She shared a story about a tragedy, a true story about a family just before Christmas, wrapping gifts the night before, big crowd, having a good time. Just before Christmas, one of the children, there was six children, one of them was gonna sing in a Christmas musical the next day. And how tragically the night before they were sleeping in the garage. And I wanna share it anyway because even though you heard it last week perhaps, God is saying something to us because I didn't talk to her about what I was going to speak. And Henry looked at my notes and why is he sending me Cindy's notes? And then he went back and looked, double take. Nope, this is Brian's. I got the story talking to my twin brother 3,000 miles away. She got the story studying for her continuing education, I think, for real estate, you know, requirements, permits, you know, non-permanent structures such as the garage that the kids were sleeping in that night. And the fire broke out about 3 o'clock in the morning. And five out of the six children perished in the fire, burned. The father dove through the flames trying to reach his children. And he was able to grab one. And he dove back out of the garage on fire, his body burning, his flesh burning, his clothes burning. He tried to get back up. That's my kids in there, I have to go back in. And God is saying to us today, that's my kids. Will you go and talk to them? Will you warn them? He couldn't get back in. And five of them burned alive. He tried to get up. He was burning. He was on fire. People were trying to snuff out the flames, and he still wanted to go back in the fire. Remember the San Diego fires? Remember that? 2007, some of you sitting right here lost your homes. Every one of us was affected. Right down the street from my house, two houses burned. Miraculously, some houses didn't. 4:30 in the morning, we wake up. We hear the police cars, fire engines, police cars driving through the neighborhood. This is the San Diego police. Wildfires are on the way here. Evacuate immediately. This is the San Diego police. Wildfires are on the way. Evacuate now. We woke up. We're like, gosh, what's happening? We grabbed our, it was just Brianna at the time. I think she was 2007, right? We grabbed her. We ran out of the house. People are panicking all around us in the neighborhood. There's a traffic jam going down the street at 4:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, like, how are we even going to get out of here? You know, the neighborhood's on fire and there's a traffic jam, you know? And we ran down to our car and I looked over at my neighbor's driveway and the neighbor's car was still sitting there in the driveway and their house was dark. And I thought, wow, they were partying last night late because they kept us up, having a good time. I remember looking through the window or looking through the people, I could see them outside and I was like, golly, you know, I mean, because we heard the fires around the way. I think they were in Ramona, you know, at that point, or coming down through San Pasqual Valley, Escondido, and but they were out partying, living it up, like nothing was on the way. And I I was like, hold on to my family. I ran over to my neighbor's door. I knocked on the door. I rang the doorbell. No answer. Wake up! Finally, my neighbor comes to the door. He's like stumbling, you could tell, you know, and he opens the door. He's like, what's going on? I was like, dude, the neighborhood's on fire, dude. Like, we gotta go. And I was like, does he understand? Because, you know, English was his second language. And he's like, oh, what do you mean? I was like, the neighborhood's on fire. You hear the police? You know, I couldn't believe he wasn't awake. I couldn't believe it. So I was like, you gotta get out. You gotta get your family. He's like, well, I said, get your family, man. You gotta leave right now. Don't get dressed. Grab your keys. Go. You know, where do I go? I was like, where do I go? I was like, the ocean, you know, and go to the, because I just thought, you know what, if the whole world's on fire, get in the ocean, you know, my favorite place, you won't burn, right? So we left, we went to the ocean. I forgot my surfboard, Paul. If I knew you, I could have called you and said, meet me. Anyway, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, a New Living Translation says, if I warn the wicked, saying, you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, and they die in their sins, I will hold you responsible for their deaths. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all heard it in the Message translation. There is no difference between us and them in this, since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. I didn't want to hear about Christianity because I knew that it wasn't for me. You know, I don't like hypocrites in the first place. Why am I going to go be another one? You know, like I wasn't one already. But why am I going to go to church with church people and be one too? You know, sorry. Romans 6:23. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin to tell you what to do, and you've discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole healed, put together life right now with more and more life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension, your retirement, your paycheck is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our master. I was just looking for fun, for life, for relief from pain. I was drinking alcohol and trying drugs and being crazy to just medicate away the pain, you know? But I was not living, I was dead. And what I really wanted was life. I didn't know that. And someone shared real life with me, Jesus. The point is that today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said, don't ask Jesus to come in your heart, because your heart's messed up. And if you just ask Jesus in your heart, it'll be worse, okay? Surrender your life. Give your life. He told another story. He was gotten saved. He was excited. And he was sitting on a bench and he saw a homeless man pushing a cart down the street, wearing floods, you know, military fatigue khakis. Totally out of uniform, William. He wouldn't have liked it. Ball cap, swim goggles on top of the ball cap, you know. Yeah, that. And he said, hey, Jesus loves you. And the guy was like, took his shopping cart, crossed the grass, made his way over to him. You know, man, Jesus loves you. I know Jesus loves me, but do you? That's what the homeless guy said. He's like, whoa. And this guy had been reading the Bible, got radically saved, and he's like, okay. And so he goes, you mind if I pray for you? And so the homeless man prayed for him. He's like, you got a demon. You know what? I'm gonna pray for you. That thing's gonna come out of you. Boom. And he's like blown away. He's like in shock, stunned, right? And he's like, okay, you know? So the homeless man, you know, prays for him. And then he goes, well, he's getting ready to leave. He goes, well, hey, what's up with the homeless thing? What's up with the shopping cart? You know, and he's like, you know, 22 years ago, I sold everything. I gave everything up. And I went on this mission across America to reach people, to anybody who would listen. Thanks for listening. And he got set free that day. He didn't know what happened, but he was like, whoa. And then he looked down in the shopping cart. It was full of Bibles. Sold out. Sold out. Sounds like my friend Paul. What's that? Called out? Sold out? I remember, first time I went surfing with Paul. Say hi to everybody, Paul. Sorry to single you out. That's one of my favorite surfing buddies. I remember the first time I went surfing with you, Paul. I loved it because you were like my coach. We went surfing on the rocks. And you know what? Today, you being here is a really big deal because the surf's up, I heard. 6 to 7 feet, Sunset Cliffs. But that's where he took me that day. What was it called? Lescombs or something? And I haven't surfed that spot for a long time, and I was a little nervous because there's reefs and rock, and it was kind of getting low tide. And he's like, yeah, we can make this section right here. Just go left, and I'll, So I did it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And it was like I drop in, and I'm going left, and I kind of look back, and Paul's right behind me. Right behind me, just turning back and forth so he doesn't crash into me. And he's like, keep going, go that section, make that section, And I'm like, wow. It was like the Holy Spirit being with me, saying, you could do it, make it. And it boosted my confidence. So I was like, this is my favorite surf. You got to come with me every day. But that day, he's like, hey, we're gonna go minister. If you got nothing going on, we're going to go. And he said they were going to go down to, I think it was Imperial or 43rd or something. Like 60 shopping carts lined up along the way where people just live down there under the bridge to barbecue for them. And I think it was Halloween, wasn't it? Yeah. He's like, I surf every day. I don't know which day it was. No. That's normal to him. He doesn't know which day I'm talking about because he just did that all the time. My friend Jake over there, the surfing scientist, where he at, buddy? Humble guy. I like him too. We went surfing the other day. Sometimes you reach out to people, with your cell phone or make a call. A lot of times I text Paul. One day I text him, I feel like trestles, and he calls me back. I was like, wow, he's calling me, So I was like, what's up? And he goes, I'm right here. I'm like, where's that? He goes, I'm at Trestles. I was like, oh, are you going? I was thinking about it. He was like, no, I'm gonna go on a boat and go surfing. You wanna go? And I'm like, do I wanna go? Yeah, I'm there. Forget going to Orange County, I'm going south, So we met and we had a great time, 45 minutes all to ourselves on this one peak. It was great, his brother and I, and surfing scientist Jake. But Paul had to jet, take care of his family, do his priorities. So afterwards, me and Jake hung out, and I was talking to Jake, and I was like, hey, Jake, I'm preaching in a couple weeks, man. I'm talking to people about reaching out, and what's your story, man? Tell me a little bit. And he told me a little bit about his story. He was excited, he was homeless for a little while. I'm sorry, is that okay to say with your girlfriend there? Living down there in the cliffs, a little bit luxury because it was looking over this great surf break. But anyway, just kidding. It was in the dirt. But, God reached out to him. A guy invited, I don't know if I'm getting this all right, but a guy invited him, hey, man, not a guy that had a perfect life either. Wasn't living all cleaned up, perfect, but God used him. And he said, hey, you want to come with me to this Bible study? He's like, oh, okay, all right. So he went, and God started moving on his heart. And next thing you know, backtrack a little bit. I guess he was having a good time downtown, living it up with his friends, parents that owned a downtown condo, just living it up. We know downtown. So he goes to this Bible study, and God starts moving on his heart. And he gets to this place where he's just like, I think he said he was laying on the boat looking up at the stars one night, and he was just like, God! And he just reaching up to God, just saying, I can't take this anymore. I can't live the way I'm living anymore. Help me, use me. And God did. Next thing you know, he's having church on the street, ministering to anybody who would come, walking on the street on New Year's Eve, saying, hey, young lady, God loves you. God loves you. No, you're looking for something tonight, and I got it. I'm telling you what it is. God loves you, And I could just go on, So, that kind of puts me to shame. I'm not doing that stuff. God might not be calling you to do that, but he might be calling you to speak to your neighbor, to knock on their door and warn them There's a fire coming. The end is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Because why don't we share Jesus with people? Why don't we share? Why? What are we afraid of? Rejection? You know, what if God rejected us? What if he said, you know what? I'm done with you, crazy alcoholic punk rocker. I'm, you know, cursing God, you know? That's it. I'm done. But he didn't. He didn't give up on me. And even though my hand was opposing him, he was ready when I turned my life around. I turned to him, and he still reached out his hand to me. Jesus said to do it. In Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, Jesus undeterred went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice I have commanded you, and I will be with you. Even as you do this, day after day after day. How many days? Just a couple days? Right up until the end of the age, I will be with you. If you were going to make your last statement on earth to your children, to your loved ones, or someone that you're like, man, I got to reach that person, I got to say something to them, what would you say? Jesus said to go. Big G, little O. Mark 16, 15 through 16. Still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. And then he said, go into the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God, of the God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever refuses will be damned. When I was early dating with Mary, my beautiful bride, I went to a family gathering, walked in right there at the front door. There's like this little, okay, it was weird. It was like an altar or something. There's a little statue that was lit up. And I was like, oh gosh, help me, Jesus. Because I used to talk to everybody. She almost left me one time because we were getting ice cream at the store. And we were driving her little love bug, Jupiter, the Volkswagen bug. And it didn't have air conditioning, so if you turn the car on, you don't have AC. So we're ministering to somebody at the checkout line at the grocery store, the cashier, you know. So, and I was going to get her saved, even if everybody else had to wait, including her. She told me later, she's like, okay, great, are you happy? We got soft ice cream, soft serve, you know. And she's like, you know, not everybody. You're not the only one, you know, that can talk to people about Jesus, you know. Just so you know. And I'm like, okay. You know, it made me think. I was like, oh, gosh, you know, maybe there is someone else that will do this. You know, so Mary's begging you today, please, would you please start telling the lady at the checkout so, like, I don't have all my food thaw out or my ice cream freeze, you know, because today I want to eat, you know, ice cream, not milk, you know. So please help us, okay? But I went, and her uncle was there at this family gathering at the house for us, saying we went in. And I remember trying to reach him, and I was just going through my little checklist, you know, the Romans Road and whatever, just being kind of task-oriented. And you don't have to be like that. That was the beginning days for me where I thought, I got to get through every little step. And he's like, okay, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So basically, he's this other religion, okay? I won't say it, but he's just like, and he yelled out, I'm this religion, you know? I mean, the whole place heard it. And this is a Filipino party, okay? So it was loud, people talking, chowing down on lumpia and ponce and stuff. Everybody having a good time. But the whole place went silent. And Mary was in the other room. She's like, okay, Jesus. It's like holding on. Little fights, it's a little scrap going on. Later on, you know, he moved to Vegas to get a job there. We found out that he was diagnosed with cancer, brain tumor. Well, he didn't want to hear from me during those early years, but when we went to go visit him, everybody went up there to kind of party with him and, you know, just kind of encourage him. His daughter was like 5 at the time. And so we talked. Everybody left to go to the casinos one night, and he was still there, you know. And we started talking to him, and he opened his heart and surrendered his life to Jesus. And today, he's in heaven. But first, he yelled at me. But I'd say it was worth it. And then I got to minister at his memorial and say, if you want to see him again, because I know you miss him, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to get saved. You need to surrender your life. I got too many stories to tell you. I think the most important thing is that you make yourself available. God likes chocolate. Did I tell you that? Yeah. You know what those peanuts are that are covered with chocolate? What are they called? No. Oh, not the candied ones. I think they're called goobers. So I think we should all be goobers. Okay? I want to make a little fun because it's a serious message. I want you to remember. G stands for go. Jesus said go. G-O. And then I say, go outside. Turn off your TV and go outside. Not just to go shopping, but yeah, that too. But just get out. Turn off your TV. Turn off your iPod, iPhone, iMessage, and stop thinking about I, okay, and me and my problems and thinking you're not ready and you got to clean yourself up first before you can be used by God. And just go outside, okay? Go outside your little comfort zone and let God use you. And the other O is observe. It's easy. It's like people watching. He could just be sitting somewhere like the guy that was sitting on the park bench and said, hey, Jesus loves you. That's one way to do it. Dave, you have a story to share, bro. You're a leader. I like your style. It's not like anybody else. You have a story to share. And I know you're thinking, where am I going now? Wherever you go, you're going with Jesus. And he's going to use you, my brother, to reach people. He's going to use you. So expect it. And don't be afraid. Because where God leads, he'll provide. You're going to speak to people. He's going to use you. Okay? All right. Observe. Just people watch. Look at what's going on and be observant. What's going on? Just be observant. Care about people. Be interested. It's easy. You know, you're just being nosy, right? And B stands for be bold. Because as the Holy, if you're quiet and you just watch and you just observe, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, you know? And you'll hear what he says. And he'll say, go talk to that person. Mary and Brianna were in a grocery store one time, and Brianna had been hearing a little bit about this. Go outside, observe, and let God use you. And she said, Mom, I think we need to encourage that person. It touches my heart to hear. You know, will you go with me, Mom, so we can speak to that person? If my child can do it, if my kid can do it, we can do it, you know? Maybe it's just, hey, I like to do this. Hey, you know, excuse me, would you mind if I encourage you? Do people mind if you encourage them? That's kind of my in way. Hey, man. Or, hey, I like your tattoos. I couldn't help notice. That must be expensive. That's some serious color, you know? Or, hey, it looks like you're going to get those colored in soon. Is that expensive? That's pretty nice artwork there you got. Could be demons and skulls and crossbones, but it's artwork, okay? So I'm just trying to start something, you know, and just be listening. Because God's showing me something with that picture right there. Hey, I just want to encourage you. Do you mind if I encourage you? Very rarely has anybody ever said, get away, man, get away, you know? You know what? When I look at you, I see, what do you see? You might be wrong, but if it's encouraging, you're right on. You can't go wrong. You're right on. So observe and then be bold and engage. Like Brianna said, Mom, will you help me? Go with someone else. Two are better than one, and a three-cord strand is not easily broken. A rope, if you look at it, is wound together with other strands, right? So go with someone else. It'll It'll embolden you. It'll make you bold. And then engage. Engage means to do. Engage to do. Just do it. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't practice. Practice now. Live. Right then. Just have fun. Remember, R stands for remember to have fun. Have fun. Remember to pray. Be prayerful even as you're going up to the person. There's times when I go up and I talk to someone, if a Mary's around, I'll kind of look at her and be like, do you have something? And then she'll like blow me out of the water and be like really awesome and prophetic and everything. And I'll be like, okay, I'm just the message. I'm just the little bellboy, you know, whatever. Just delivering the bags, the message. Here you go. And remember who's with you. He said, I go with you. Day after day after day, even until the end of the age. Bryce had a birthday a little while ago, and we kind of turned it into a youth event, young adult event. It was fun. A lot of work. Thank you for letting me use your truck for that, because it saved like 5 trips. We bring the camp, you know, camp out. And it goes until the night. Yeah, we go until the night. And we had glow sticks, you know, and the youth and young people, and we're just having a good time. And my son just turned 4, and then one of his really good friend, his neighbor was there, and left his little glow sticks on the seat. And I'm talking with, I think, Kyle and Joy, I think it was, and we're just having a good time trying to do s'mores, you know? Kind of preoccupied, seeing if the marshmallows are ready. And this young kid from another camp comes over, and like, I look over at the corner of my eyes, and he's like, reaches through the seat and grabs the chem lights and runs away. And then he's like, showing his friends. I'm like, dude, that's pretty stupid, you know? I can see it. It's glowing. Hello? You know? And I'm like, wow, you know, we're supposed to glow for Jesus. And I was observing. Now, this isn't your style, but I was like, oh, man, I'm going to use this. I need a story. So then he's showing off to his friends, and then he comes back around. He's going to go the other way this time, you know, so I won't see him. He goes around the other side, and he makes a beeline to come back to the camp, and I'm like, what's up? He's got his hoodie on. He's like, you know, dark and dangerous hoodie. Can't see his face, you know. And I was like, you know what, man? And I was like, I don't know how else to get started here. So I just said, you know what? Stealing won't send you to hell, but rejecting Jesus Christ will. And he's like, hmm? I was like, I'm just going to get to the point because I got a captive audience. He can't go anywhere right now. I'm just going to go right for the juggler. So I took off my hat, and he's like, you know, he got all reverent, you know, took off his hoodie. What a cute little kid. Looked like he was 10 or 8 years old. He was probably 12 or 14, but just looked like a little innocent, toe-headed kid. I go, oh, my gosh. I said, you know what, man? Stop this now, because I don't want it to lead to somewhere else, and someday you're incarcerated because you thought it was funny and you were showing off to your friends. God has a plan for your life. And I was like, you know, this is like blowing him away, but I just wanted to tell this kid, God has a plan for your life. I was like, you're stealing from my kid. You're going to hear it, okay? So I'm going to preach to you. Hey, let me encourage you. I was like, you know what? God has a plan for your life. He's going to use you. And the energy and the daring, you know, adventurous spirit that you have, God's going to use. He has a plan for your life. And then these 2 other people came over, you know, to kind of intervene for him. And I was like, that goes for you too. And I turned and I started to head a crowd. It's kind of fun. And I looked at this one guy and I was like, oh, he looked like he was 55. And I was like, that was the guy that went, and that's for you too. And he's like, okay, man, okay, we get it. We're good. Okay, sorry, we're good. And the kid's like, I'm sorry, I'll give it back. I'm like, you know what? It's not about that. And then I say, it's not about that, you know, to the seasoned man. I said, it's about God loving you and wanting to reach you. And that's why I'm standing here before you right now to tell you that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Surrender your life to God, because without him, you don't go to heaven. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, there's another way you could have reached them. I could have been all compassionate and cuddly and stuff and been like, honey, let's give them all our chem lights, you know? Let's just, hey, you guys, you want some gifts, you know? But I was like a little frustrated because stealing from my 4-year-old party. But, you know, I just couldn't, you know, I had to say something. So I said something, but you just said something different, okay? Okay. There's a lot more I could say, but I got to show you this video, okay? I want to show you this video, but before I show you the video, one more scripture. Matthew 13:49 says, and just for those of you that like the King Jimmy version, I do have the King James up there for you. You like that? You feel better? Okay. So, just in case, thought I was... All right. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Pastor Henry did a series that was pretty awesome. You got to catch it on the podcast or online, called Fearless. Pretty awesome. And that's not just about reaching out, everybody. It's about being fearless to go forth and receive all that God has for you. The best. The best. Don't compromise. Don't settle for less. You are worthy of God's best. Some of you know I'm speaking to you. Stop looking down on yourself and God's creation and thinking you shouldn't hold out for God's best, because God only has the best for you. Raphael is going to, God's going to use his story. I'm sorry about his dad, but God's going to use him, because he's going to identify with people's hurt and their pain. Don't worry. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't lose heart. Don't stop praying for him. He has a sweet heart, and God's going to use him to minister to people. Okay? Let me show this video. I was really a softy today. Let's watch this guy. Lights, please.
Stop being ugly. I am going to drive a sword deep into your heart. Because I'm telling you, this thing is easy. Our mission statement of the gospel is to become love, so that wherever we walk, people want what we have. We so love the world that we give. What do you give? Everything that you are, you give. You don't hold anything back. Come on, man. You don't have the right to have a bad day. Don't, well, you don't know what I've been through. Man, you don't know what he went through to give you his life. Man, what is it worth to trade your life? Why would you want to hold on to something that's crushed? What if you were so possessed by God that it didn't matter what people said about you? God has given you dominion by his Spirit, that every place the sole of your foot treads, it's yours. God grabbed your heart, not for you to be bound by the fear of man anymore, but for you to be possessed by the love of God. And if God is for you, who cares who's against you? You're not here for you, you're here for him. You abide in him. You flow with him. You move with him. Learn your identity. Who you are as a son. Stop being manipulated by lies and dominated by hell. Just surrender. Say, you know what, God? I didn't get it. Now I do. God, I want this. And God says, that I can work with that. Woo. And you don't have to say, well, God, what do you want me to do today? Just do it. Well, God, where do you want me to go? Just go. Well, God, who should I pray for? Everybody. Persecution's not here, but it's coming. And if you can't rise up now in the midst of nothing, you'll never be able to stand in the midst of persecution. We're so used to being comfortable. We're so used to just staying inside our comfort zone. Holy Spirit is called the Comforter because he knew that you were going to be uncomfortable to step into this thing. Rise up and be the bride. Be a passionate warrior that God created you to be, so you can burn with fire. The world can watch you burn. Why would you hide this thing? Why would you be a basket-headed Christian? Why would you put this thing underneath of something? It's meant to shine so that your whole house will be lit. It's meant to shine so that your city can be lit by one person. Everywhere you go, you're a conduit for God's grace, for his glory, for his mercy, for his compassion. You're a conduit for his fire to flow through, to touch the world around you. All you've got to do is say, yes, I want this, God. That's it. All you got to do is say, I'm in. All that's required is that you're sick and tired of not having this happen in your life. And God says, you know what? If you're sick and tired of it, I want to fill you with me. when you're on the earth not to represent you. God, by mercy and grace, mercy woke you up today to give you one more day to manifest him and not you. Come on, guys, this thing's real. Rise up. Be the bride. Be passionate about something. Give your life. Stop holding on to you. What are we doing? What are we doing with this? Come on, all you gotta do is say, I want it. That's it. There's no secret except the mystery, and it's been revealed. The mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. By love, that we would destroy hell for a living.
Keep the lights down, if you would, please. Just keep the lights down, if you would. If I could just have a couple more minutes, is that all right? All right? It's important. Sorry for taking up a little extra time. This week, my twin brother called me. I don't normally answer when I'm at work because I'm on the phone yakking away. Imagine that. I thought, I think I need to take this call, so I answered, and he said, hey man, I just got finished with an event, and my mother-in-law called me and said, where are you? He's like, what? What's wrong? She's like, where are you? I need you here. And then he's like, is everything okay? Is Anoka okay? My niece? Yes. Is everything okay? No. I gotta go. And then his wife was calling on the other end, so she hung up. So he was talking to me, telling me this story. He says, she said, come to my house. So as he's talking to me, he turns up the drive and he's rolling up the drive and he says, there's a lot of cars here, Brian. There's a lot of cars here. I don't think it's good. His brother-in-law, that I tried to reach years ago, haven't seen him for a long time, they're on the East Coast, and who he tried to reach rejected his message. Christianity, Jesus, crutch for weak-minded people. I'm good. Don't want to hear about it. Trying to warn people. Apparently, 3 years addicted to drugs. Habit. $5,000 to $6,000 a month. $60,000, $75,000 a year, bankrupting his family. Why can't we pay our bills, honey? Why can't we pay our bills? Hiding the truth. Everything he built was on him. His trust in his power, his job, what he created. Well, he lost all that. And while his precious little girls were at home, he hung himself. Two little girls in the house. And my twin reaches out to everybody. He's worse than me. We're just so grateful, you know? The Bible says, he who's forgiven much loves much. I can't hold back. God forgave me a debt I could never pay. And neither could you. He said, I was in his neighborhood on Friday night. It was late. I was tired. I worked like 5 events. I was tired. It was pouring rain. It was late. I never stopped by his house unannounced. They're not like that. They don't like that. I thought, I know he's going through a hard time. Maybe I should stop by. No, he'll just, you know what? It probably wouldn't have helped. Maybe not. I don't know. It's not my brother's fault. We all question when something happens tragic. What if I thought man, what if I talk to him? I don't talk to him. 3,000 miles away. I haven't seen him for years. But I still asked, what could I have done? So, you know, let's go out today and not second guess. If God tells you to do something, if the Holy Spirit tells you, be obedient. Enjoy living for your Lord and showing him you love him more than yourself. That you don't care about your reputation. You care about his. You care about his. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about shouting his fame. If you're here today and you are struggling with thoughts to hurt yourself, come down here right now so I can pray for you. When I was 17, I tried to kill myself. And I'm glad I failed. Could have been it for me. I was thinking about it again later on. It's an angry, hurtful, selfish thing to do. When you think there's no hope and no other way. My brother just wanted to say, hey man, I was a screw up. Look what he did for me. And I don't want you to give up on those people that you're caring for, that you're worried about, that you think, I don't know, because he can do it faster than you can think. Jesus is not asking you to come and let him come into your heart. He wants you to give up your life. If you keep your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life, you will find it. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you died today, where would you go? If you don't know that you're going to heaven, come down here right now. Stop caring about what everybody thinks about you, what your girlfriend, what your boyfriend, what your family thinks. If you don't know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you died right now, that you would go to heaven, come here so I can pray for you right now. I know there's people in this place. You're worried about what someone else thinks. I'm worried about your life. I'm worried about your eternal life. I'm worried about you burning for eternity. I don't believe that. But you know God is tugging on your heart. You know that God's speaking to your heart right now because you're nervous and you're afraid and you're wondering what people are going to think. So I want you to come so I can minister to you. Today is the day of salvation. Today. For tomorrow, a man does not know what will come. You don't know. You walk out of this place. What happens next? Today's the day. God, I'm so grateful for what you did for me, that you rescued me from myself. Yeah, there's an enemy, there's a devil, but I was my own enemy. And I can't believe that I thought you were against me. I did not know your character. I did not know the truth of who you really are, that you're loving and forgiving and merciful, that you are not my enemy, that you were not causing problems and trials and struggles in my life. I made those decisions, and I had an enemy of my soul who wanted to take me out. The devil has a plan for your life too, you know that? And God has a plan for your life. Choose today that you want God's plan. I want to ask if we would dare to pray this prayer. God, use me. This year, use me to reach one person and lead one person to Jesus and disciple them. I wonder if we dare to pray that prayer. I heard a minister say, that's a wimpy prayer. That's a wimpy prayer. Because God is big and he wants to reach the world. One person? But okay, I can work with that. Like Todd said, I can work with that if you give me that. If you'll just trust him, God, help me reach one person this year, lead one person to Jesus and disciple them so they can do it. Cindy showed that slide last week. If Billy Graham was here and led a million people to Jesus and did it every year, in 33 years, we'd have 33 million people saved. If you and I did it and just did it one time every year, leading one person to Jesus, and then the next year and the next year, each of us doing the same, discipling that person to do the same thing in 33 years, 8 billion plus people would be saved. That's the world population by that year. That makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? It's a lot easier. It's not Billy Graham's job. He's retired. He'll say, I know he would say anything he could to anybody, bring him before him. But God's waiting for you and for me to speak, to do, to engage, to go, to be a goober. Dare to pray this prayer with me. And afterwards, I mean, you can go if you have to go. I appreciate your time. I think you'll get there before some of the other churches if you want to go to lunch. But if you want prayer today for healing, deliverance, God wants to set you free. If you want an encouraging word, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can have power to be a witness, because that's what you need if you're not being a witness. You need the Holy Spirit. And come down here so I can pray for you today. But let's pray this prayer together. Is there anybody that wants to come? Okay. Pray this with me. God, forgive me for doubting, for fearing man. I am not afraid because you go before me. Use me, God. Use my life. I give my life to you. You gave your life for me. My life is not my own. I put it in your hands and I say, use it. Use me to reach someone. Lead a person to Jesus this year. At least one. And help me be their friend and disciple them. Next 12 months, help me do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. I guarantee he's going to do it because he's just looking for that person that says, here I am, God, send me. He's not looking for Paul to go across the border and risk his life. So his wife worries. He had to quit that, but you can trust him. He does investments now, a little safer to help you be safe. But it's not one person that's supposed to go. All of us can live the adventure and enjoy the ride that Jesus has for us to live. If you want prayer, I'd like my district pastors to come down and life group leaders just to be available. Come on down so we can pray for anybody that wants prayer for anything. If you want prayer for more boldness, want prayer for the receiving the Holy Spirit, prayer for deliverance, come on down so we can pray for you. You can go if you need to go. We'll be done in a little bit. Thanks for coming today. Anybody wants prayer, come on down. You're dismissed. If you want prayer, come on down. Love you guys. Thanks for being here.